Are you a Smashburger king? Creating those crispy edges and the intense beefy flavor that puts fast food to shame? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I never have to worry about whether I have high-quality proteins on hand. And they have so many options, handcrafted steaks, convenient comfort meals, and it's always excellent. Celebrate President's Day with the exceptional handcrafted flavor and convenience of Omaha Steaks. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Static. They didn't build a fire. A fire was a beacon. Instead, they ate cold beans from a can and drank lukewarm water in silence. Nicole unrolled her sleeping bag near the rear tire of the Jeep, facing away from the vehicle, staring out into the endless black of the basin. She pulled her collar up against the plummeting temperature. Her body was exhausted, every muscle vibrating with the tension of the drive, but her mind was a spinning hard drive of images. The fountain, the pink water, Sarah's dead eyes, the train. Behind her, she heard the click hiss of the radio. She stiffened, but didn't move. She lay perfectly still, feigning sleep, while every nerve ending tuned into the sound of the receiver. "Base, this is Mobile One," Jacob's voice murmured. It was low, intimate, stripped of the tactical hardness he wore during the day. "Base, come in, over." There was a beat of static, the white noise of the apocalypse, and then a voice cut through, clear, warm, anxious. "Mobile One, I read you," Beverly said. "We've been waiting. You're late, over." "Had to navigate some terrain," Jacob lied smoothly. "Drifted off the main road to avoid debris. We're camped for the night. It's quiet out here. Over?" Nicole closed her eyes tight. "Liar," she thought. "We're camped in a graveyard." "Is she?" Beverly's voice hesitated. "Is everything okay? Are you safe?" "We're safe, Bev," Jacob said. "Cold, but safe. How is the fort holding up? Over?" "The fort is complicated," Beverly sighed. The radio transmission stripped some of the fidelity from her voice, but the frustration was audible. "Sam is running drills. Ruby is organizing the intake. But it feels empty without the whole team." A pause. "Jacob," Beverly said, dropping the radio protocol. "Sam is furious. He won't say it, but he feels betrayed. And I just don't understand why you couldn't tell us. Why you still can't tell us." Nicole heard the creak of the Jeep's suspension as Jacob shifted his weight, leaning against the grill. "I know," Jacob said softly. I know it doesn't make sense from where you're sitting, and I want you to know I don't like it, keeping things from you. I don't know Sam, but if he's anything like me, I feel for the guy. It sits wrong in my gut. It's not how I do business. Then tell me, Beverly whispered. Just tell me. I can't, Jacob said. I made a promise, a condition of the mission, and you know how I feel about promises. I know, Beverly said, her voice sounding small. I'm sorry, Jacob said, and he meant it. Nicole could hear the weight of the apology in the dark. It was a heavy, stone-like thing. I know you are, Beverly said, rallying. She forced a lighter tone, pushing past the blockage of the secret. Well, while you're out there playing secret agent, we're actually getting some work done. I moved the school. Yeah? Jacob asked. Out of the server room? Finally, Beverly said. Sam cleared a storage bay on level 2. It's bigger. The acoustics are terrible, but at least the kids don't have to listen to the cooling fans all day, and we have more students now. That bus that came in, there were 12 kids. I have a full classroom, Jacob. 18 students. I'm running out of pencils. 18? Jacob let out a low whistle. That's a real school, Bev. You're building something. We're trying, Beverly said. Even Walt is helping. He came down today to do a lesson on botany. He brought a lemon tree in a pot. The big hippie-looking dude? Yeah, that's him. He's homesick, I think, Beverly said. He puts on a brave face for the kids, tells them stories about the ocean and the fish, but you could see it in his eyes. He's drifting. Everything he talks about circles back to that island. I think he feels trapped in the rock. We all do, a little bit. Nicole dug her fingers into the dirt. Trapped. They were trapped because of her father. They were hiding in a hole because Stephen Marcus Bennett had turned the sky into a weapon. He'll hold. You all will, Jacob said. Ideally, we wouldn't have to hold alone, Beverly noted gently. I know, Jacob repeated. The conversation lulled, the static hissed between them, filling the desert silence. It wasn't an empty silence, though. It was charged. It was the sound of two people reaching across the 100 miles of desolate highway, trying to touch fingertips. It's nice to hear your voice, Bev, Jacob said suddenly. His voice was rough, unpolished. After today, it's really nice. Rough day? Beverly asked. Or just a day you can't talk about? Both, Jacob admitted. Mostly the second one.
It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help. And you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
I'm sorry, Beverly said. That must be lonely. I've got the mission, Jacob said. Well, Beverly's voice softened, becoming intimate in a way that made Nicole feel like an intruder in her own camp. It's nice to hear your voice too, Jacob. I was worried. There was a long silence then. Long, awkward, comfortable, the kind of silence where things are said without words. "Listen," Beverly broke in, her voice clearing its throat, "before I get too maudlin and you get too stoic, I have someone here who is vibrating at a frequency that is going to shatter the radio." Jacob chuckled, a warm, genuine sound. "Put him on." There was a fumbling sound, the clatter of the mic being passed, and then a breathless explosion of energy. "Jacob! Jacob, is that you?" "Loud and clear, Officer Sanders," Jacob said, smiling into the dark. "Report. What's the status of the precinct?" "All secure," Tommy shouted. "I did a patrol of the hallway before bed. No bogeys. And I helped Mr. Walt carry the water buckets. And Caleb tried to cut in line at lunch, but I told him that was a violation of civil order." "Civil order, huh?" Jacob laughed. "Good work. Did he step back?" "Yes, sir. He knows I'm watching him." "Excellent work, deputy," Jacob said. "You keep your eyes open. A lawman has to be observant. You watching out for your mom?" "Always," Tommy said seriously. "I'm the man of the house right now. That's what Sam said." "Sam is right," Jacob said. "You take care of her. And listen, when I get back, I'm going to need a full debrief, written report." "For real?" "For real," Jacob promised. "And if you're going to wear that badge, we need to start working on your policy training. There's a way to do things, Tommy, protocols. We'll start with the handbook when I'm back."
"That would be so cool," Tommy squealed. "I can learn the codes, like 10-4 and stuff."
"Exactly like that," Jacob said. "But you have to keep your grades up in your mom's school. You can't be a sheriff if you can't read the law."
"I will, I promise."
Beverly's voice came back distant at first, then closer. "Okay, deputy, that's enough. You have geometry in the morning."
"Aw, Mom.
Bed, now." "Okay.
Bye, Jacob. Be safe. Catch the bad guys."
"Good night, partner," Jacob said. The mic fumbled again. "He's going to sleep with that badge on again," Beverly said, sounding fond and exhausted. "You're feeding the fire, you know." "He needs the fire," Jacob said. "Keeps the cold out." "Yeah," Beverly whispered. "It does." She paused. "Be safe, Jacob, please. Whatever you're doing, just come back in one piece."
"I will,"
Jacob said. "I'll call you when I can. Radio silence until then. Don't want to draw attention." "Understood. Good night, Jacob." "Good night, Bev." The connection died. The static vanished, leaving only the oppressive silence of the desert. Jacob stood by the Jeep for a long moment. Nicole heard him strike a match, the flare of sulfur sharp in the air, followed by the smell of tobacco. He didn't smoke often, but tonight, after the blood in the fountain, he needed it. He took a few drags, then stubbed it out against his boot. He unrolled his own sleeping bag on the other side of the Jeep, keeping a respectful distance, keeping the watch. He lay down. Within minutes, his breathing evened out into the slow, rhythmic cadence of sleep. He was a soldier. He knew how to rest when the opportunity arose. Nicole lay awake. She stared up at the Milky Way, a smear of diamond dust across the black. She replayed the conversation in her mind, the warmth in Beverly's voice, the excitement in Tommy's, the longing in Walt's homesickness. They were moving on. They were building a school. They were planting lemon trees. They were fighting for a life. It was beautiful, and it tore her apart. They had lives before this. Beverly had a husband. Tommy had a father. Walt had an island. They didn't need a school in a storage bay. They had real schools. They didn't need to learn police codes to survive lunch. They had childhoods. All of that was gone, erased, and the man responsible for erasing it was her blood. "If it wasn't for Krenner," she thought, a tear sliding hot into her ear, "if it wasn't for my father." She listened to Jacob sleep. He was a good man, a grieving man who was finding a second chance at a family with Beverly and Tommy. And Nicole was the one forcing him to lie to them. She was the wedge Krenner had driven between them. She wanted to sleep. She wanted to drift off and forget the pink water in the fountain. But every time she closed her eyes, she saw the train. She saw Krenner's smile. She saw the ledger. And she heard Sarah's voice. "The Bennett woman. A complication." Nicole rolled over, pulling the sleeping bag over her head, trying to hide from the stars. But the dark offered no comfort. The dark was where the train lived. It was hours before exhaustion finally dragged her under, and even then, her sleep was thin, brittle, and full of the sound of wheels grinding on steel.